Fejr nytår med Jep og Fix. Magic bomberør 4 styk til 89 kroner. Eller 50 styk trækbomber til kun 39. Og husk beskyttelsesbriller til både børn og voksne 10 kroner per styk. Ikke så mange undskyldninger. Hjem og Fix lavprisbyggemarkedet. Godt nytår.
My Rock. My Rock. Danmarks eneste rockradio. Fang os på FM, DAB, RadioPlay.dk og nu også som podcast. Velkommen til My Rock Podcast.
Tiden er fløjet af sted. Sommeren er stort set over, og det virker efterhånden som en evighed siden, at vi var på Copenhagen. Til gengæld kan vi glæde dig med, at du de næste mange, mange uger kan genopleve de glade dage ude på Refshaløen sammen med My Rock Podcast. Vi har nemlig haft fornøjelsen af at tale med rigtig mange af de bands, der spillede på årets festival. Det har blandt andet været Trivium, det har været Stone Temple Pilots, Scorpions, Municipal Waste, Refused og mange flere. Vi ligger dog stærkt ud med blandt andet Hailstorm, hvor min kollega Sten fik en snak med Lizzie Hale og Joe Hottinger om, hvordan de kan holde ud at turnere uafbrudt, og hvad de vil lave, hvis de ikke spiller musik. Hvad der kommer ud af det, kan du høre lidt senere i programmet. Først tager vi dog fat i de svenske vikinger fra Amarnamath, der på årets festival havde taget en kæmpe stor hjelm med på scenen. Jeg talte med guitarist Olavi Mikkonen om deres nyeste album Berserker, om hans kærlighed til gaming og om dødsmetalscenen i Stockholm tilbage i de gode gamle 90'er. Men først skal vi høre et nummer fra deres nyeste plade. Her er Crack the Sky.
Across the world, as hot day here at Copenhagen, day four. Sitting here with Olavi from Mighty Amon Amarth. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, actually.
Nice to hear.
Yeah.
Recently, you just released your 11th album, Berserker. Yeah. Can you tell me what the story behind the title is?
Well, it's actually... the title is not bound to the whole album. It's more like one song, and we kind of felt the title being really strong, and it's a cool idea for, you know, the image for the new album with the Berserker and all that. But the idea of Berserker comes from... it was kind of towards the end of the Viking era when the Vikings were still invading UK or England, and the Vikings had to retreat from the English army because the English army was so much greater, and they retreated over a river, and on that river there was a bridge, the Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
So the Vikings, they left their most badass warrior to defend the bridge, so the other guys could retreat, get a bigger, ahead of the enemy.
Yeah.
So they had this one guy defending the bridge, and he took the English. I think actually he managed to kill up to 70 people until they took him.
One man?
Yeah, one man army? Holding a whole fucking English army.
Holy shit.
And the only way they could kill him was to get on boats on the river and stab him underneath with spears. So, but the funny thing here is that this is actually not written on the Viking sagas or anything. The story itself is written by the Anglo-Saxons. So they actually wrote about the enemy, which is kind of cool. And that means how great the enemy actually was.
Yeah, and probably makes it more true as well.
I mean, this is actually, obviously we don't know, but it is actually an historic event.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that's, we kind of felt that's a really strong story to, that's going to be the main story for the album.
Yeah.
But except for that, the whole album is just, all the songs are on their own, so to say.
So it's not like a concept album, like you've used to. So that differs from Jomsviking.
Exactly.
What else differs on this record?
I think, it's a cliche when you say, it's the best songs we ever written, yada, yada. But the thing is that we actually put more energy more energy into trying to write the best we ever could. And before we actually went to the real recording, we did the pre-productions three times.
Wow.
We did two pre-productions with Peter Tackren at Abyss Studio.
Yeah.
And that's where we used to record 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, getting back the old Amon Amarth feeling. And Peter Tackren is a great guy too. And also get his opinion on the songs. And then we had a pre-production in Sweden with Jay Rustin, the producer of the album. And then finally we did the recording in LA with Jay Rustin. So I think the whole process was something we never did before. Because in the past we only did demos and then we recorded the album. So now we actually did proper studio recordings before we did the album.
Yeah.
And also I think Jay Rustin had cool ideas when it comes to, we wanted to maybe sound-wise move a little bit more towards traditional heavy metal, but we were keeping, the growling and the heavy guitars and all that, but just to have a little different sound. Because I think nowadays, a lot of bands sound the same. We wanted to do something that nobody else did.
Yeah.
And also the way Jay Rustin wanted us to record was to record one song totally finished with everything, vocals and all the leads and everything, and then you move on to the next song.
Okay.
So and that process is something we also never did before. In the past we would track drums for whatever a week and a half, and then you track guitars, and so this is, it was kind of like more like you felt more like a unit.
Yeah.
because you had to work together on all songs, and then you, that's finished, you put it on side, and then you move to the next one.
Yeah.
And also for each song, we could tweak the sound, and all right, maybe we need more of, you know, low end on the guitars for this song, and maybe this song needs more classic heavy metal sound. And we had different amps that we like, we mixed together, and I think like for a Mjölner Hammer tour, that is kind of like an, it's our tribute to heavy metal.
Yeah.
And that guitar sound is more vintage Marshall, you know, more 80s
yeah.
heavy metal Marshall. And then you have a heavy song like Shield Wall that has more of the modern sound. So, yeah, we.
So it's very varied, this album.
Yeah, I think so. And then we try to find dynamics all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why we included clean vocals as well in some parts to just add more dynamics.
Yeah. Does that mean it took you way longer to do it like this?
All the pre-production, yes, took yeah. way longer. But when we actually did the real recording, we kind of knew what we already wanted. So.
Yeah, okay. But you said you were always tweaking a bit, because when you heard the final product, instead of recording 12 drum tracks at a time,
yeah, yeah.
and then put on guitars later, but if you only focus on one song, then maybe you hear something new, and then you keep sticking to the song.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things that came up in the studio as well. Like all these, you know, small things. I think like for Ravens, after the guitar solo, that we had a break and it's only a drum fill,
yeah.
and then it kicks in again. That's something we, you know, that came up in the studio.
Yeah.
And also the intro for Mjölner with the forging sound, that's also something that came up in the studio. So there's always small tweaks that, you know.
Yeah. And you said you were recording in L.A.
Yeah.
How was that like?
I think the idea of recording in LA was actually better than actually the recording, because we recorded from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 6 days a week, so we didn't really got to see much of being in LA.
Okay.
But it was great. I mean, the studio itself was amazing. It's I would never have thought like a band like Amon Amarth could record in a nice studio like that. So, yeah, that was totally awesome.
So, okay, so you didn't really see anything of L.A.? I mean
we've been there so many times, and there's, you know, not really that much to see. Of course there is, but when we actually recorded, that's what we did. And then some days we had off, and we were also tired, so we were pretty much hanging out around the house that we rented.
What kind of house? It was a big mansion?
Yeah, it was a big, we all had bedrooms, and we had a pool, and so yeah, it was a huge house.
Nice. And speaking of staying together in a huge house and being around each other, you've existed for almost 30 years,
yeah.
if we count in Scum days. What's the secret?
Well, we're friends, first of all, and you know, we respect each other, and we all want the same thing with the band. We go towards the same goal. And I think, you know, since we've been, we're not the kind of band that got famous the first year. It took us many years. We are at the level today by taking small steps. And I think that kept us all, you know, with our feet on the ground. And we don't really have any, you know, rock star attitude or whatever. We all know why we are where we are today. And it's because of hard work and, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's all that combined. But most of all, friendship.
Yeah.
And we are friends, you know. We, like I said, we rent the house, we all live together. And on off dates, like tomorrow we have a day off in Krakow, Poland. And we're going to have a dinner together, the whole band. And that's what we've always done. Poland is great. I mean, we have a show with Slipknot in a few days.
Oh, Poland. Cool. They played here yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a fucking amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're cool guys.
Speaking of your show, you are pretty known for having a fucking Viking ship on stage. What are we gonna see tonight?
Today we're gonna do the Helmet. That is, it's a drum riser. There is a drum riser above a Viking helmet with horns. And then we have a lot of pyro, and we have some other cool gags.
Fucking name.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing. I really want to talk about the old days in Amon Amarth and the Swedish death metal scene in Stockholm back in the days. How do you remember that time? I mean, it was not only Amon Amarth coming out, it was Dismember, it was Grave, Bloodbath, Hypocrisy, Meshuggah.
Yeah.
enslaved. Did you have a tight bond, all you guys?
Not really, not to those Stockholm bands. The Stockholm bands were Unleashed and Dismember and Entombed, of course. No, we didn't really have a great bond to them. I think we always felt like we were the outsider for some reason.
Okay.
And then we have the Gothenburg scene, In Flames, Dark Tranquillity, At the Gates. And we didn't know those guys either. So the only band that we became friends with was probably Hypocrisy.
Yeah.
But that was because we recorded with Peter.
Yeah.
But we never toured with them. So I think we always felt like we were the outsider somehow. And we came in later as well. So
yeah.
I think, I don't know. Maybe I have a feeling that some of those bands thought like, oh, who the fuck is that, you know?
Yeah.
But, hey.
How about now? Unleashed played here yesterday.
Yeah, I think they're awesome. They've always been awesome. And yeah, cool.
Excellent. We don't have that much time, but I just wanted to ask you about your love of video games. Because I saw you had an Amon Amarth mobile game.
Oh, yeah.
And when I read it, I was like, why? What was the point?
The thing is that here's the funny thing. We had a meeting with our lawyer. And after the meeting, we went out for some drinks, and our lawyer's friend is a game, he makes games, video games. So we were just drinking beer and talking about, you know, Commodore 64 and old Sega and Nintendo. We all grew up in the 80s, we were all gamers. And we talked about it would be so fun, you know, it would be fun to make a Amon Amarth game, you know, you're a Viking throwing a Thor's hammer and you're just killing, you know, priests and you're killing all kind of cool shit. So, then, you know, a couple of months later, the guy who makes the video game, he was like, hey, let's make a fucking game.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah. And then a year later, he showed us the first parts of the game, and we were, yeah, fuck yeah. And we wanted to look like an 8-bit game, because we wanted to look like a retro game. And then it's our music in the, you know, retro sound. So, yeah, I think the game is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think actually we're gonna add some new levels that are connected to the Berserker, and we're also gonna do some new songs to it. So.
Oh, cool! So you're gonna modify the game, expand it.
Oh yeah! I think that's the thing about it. Once you bought it, you're always, you know, gonna get more levels, and all that.
What kind of games do you play?
Right now, I'm playing a game called Days Gone. It's on PlayStation 4, and it's kind of like if you played Core Fry. Nay.
Far Cry.
If you played that, it's kind of similar story-wise, but you're a biker and it's like fighting zombies and shit. But it's
sounds
good
cool.
to pass time on a tour bus.
Yeah. Okay, so you have time to play while you're on tour.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is that what you do most of the time?
If I'm not talking to guys like you, I'm playing games.
And drinking, of course.
Of course.
Cool, man.
Mostly Underberg.
Underberg?
Yes.
I was speaking to Catatonia a few days ago, and they also said Underberg is their favorite.
Yeah.
Is there something about Underberg in Sweden?
I don't know. I mean, we are actually Swedish brand ambassadors for Underberg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn, that's cool. So, final question. What can we expect from Amon Amarth in the future?
We're going to do a show in... one show. We're going to do a tour in fall in Europe. And in Denmark, we're going to play... sorry, I totally forgot it. It's not Copenhagen. It's another city.
Yeah.
But it's going to be awesome. We're going to bring out the biggest production ever. And we have an amazing package. Unfortunately, I cannot... tell the bands now, but it's not rocking science if you have been following us. But it's gonna be an awesome tour, and that's what's gonna happen next in Europe after.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Thank you for talking to me, and have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
Go electric med Ford. Her får du rigtig meget elbil for pengene. Du kan nemlig spare helt op til 30.000 kroner på den populære Ford Explorer. Lang rækkevidde, fantastisk komfort og masser af udstyr. Fås for under 250.000 kroner. Besøg Ford og book en prøvetur i dag.
Jeg blev fyret og fik hjælp lige med det samme.
Da min arbejdsgiver gik konkurs, fik jeg et rentefrit lån.
Da jeg skulle have flexjob, stod de virkelig klar.
Jeg fik endelig min feriepenge, takket være Det Faglige Hus.
Uanset hvor du står i dit arbejdsliv, står vi bag dig. Det Faglige Hus. Danmarks billigste fagforening med A-kasse for alle.
Som man kan høre her til sidst, så hersker der lidt forvirring over, hvor Amon Amarth skulle spille i Danmark næste gang. Men det er selvfølgelig i Aarhus Kongresscenter den 12. december, at man kan opleve Amon Amarth sammen med to andre svenske giganter i form af henholdsvis Arch Enemy og Hypocrisy. Det skulle efter sigende være Amon Amarths største og mest ambitiøse sceneproduktion nogensinde, så der er helt sikkert noget at glæde sig til i den kommende mørke vintertid. Vi bevæger straks videre i programmet og tager fat i et af de mest hårdarbejdende bands inden for heavy metal. Det er nemlig amerikanske Hailstorm, der er kendt for at spille helt op til 250 shows om året. Det, der adskiller Hailstorm fra så mange andre bands, er til gengæld også, at de rent faktisk er en familie. Forsanger Lizzie Hale og trommeslager RJ er søstre, moren Beth er manager, og faderen Roger Hale har tidligere spillet bass i bandet, og nu er han med på alle deres tours og hjælper til. Min kollega Sten har fanget Lizzie Hale og Joe Huttinger til en snak om Life on the Road, om hvad de vil lave, hvis de ikke spillede musik, og hvad der kommer til at ske i fremtiden for Hailstorm. You make me vicious. Watch as I make the pain my mistress. You can call me Miss Malicious. I'll dress you up in stitches. No, I cannot resist this. If it don't hurt, I get suspicious. I like to take the knife and twist it. Yeah, my love is sacrilegious. I'm not scared to admit it. This violence is delicious. What doesn't kill me makes me vicious. I'm not gonna break. I can take all that you can give. This is survival of the sickest. I am not afraid. Bring the pain. Watch out, 'cause I'm vicious. And I'm not asking for forgiveness. Yeah, I'll make you go ballistic. Your torture is my business, and I won't leave a witness. I don't care if you hate me, 'cause you're gonna have to face me. And there's no use in crying. You know I would be lying if I said you could escape me. What doesn't kill me makes me vicious.
Stage at the Copenhagen Hell Festival with Hailstorm.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Great. Great to see you again.
Great to see you again. I've been looking forward to seeing you because the last time you were here, I did an interview with you guys. It was cozy. It was nice. I had my son with me. He fell asleep.
Yep.
So I had to take him home so I didn't go see the show. So now I'm actually going to see the show.
That's awesome.
Really looking forward to
that's
that.
That's awesome.
And the thing is that it's so fun with you guys because you can go to a Hailstorm show nearly every day because you're playing so much.
Yes, that is true.
Kiss have called themselves the hottest band in the world. Are you the hottest working band in the world?
I don't know.
At least in our small circle, we definitely tour, you know, probably equal or maybe more than our peers most times. But
yeah, who knows? Yeah. I haven't been counting, and I bet you if somebody did actually count, they'd be like, well, yeah, you're actually not that hardworking if you look at this
Yeah,
band.
maybe we aren't as hardworking as we think. It goes by in such a blur sometimes, you know? All of a sudden, like, a couple months will go by, and we're like, whoa, what happens, you know? And so, I don't know, we still love it. So I think that that helps. I think that it would be tough if we hated what we do, you know.
Sure. It wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. We get to play music. It's kind of all I want to do. We had this kid just in this other band that we just met at one of these festivals, and he was like, "So what's your like end game? What's your end plan? You know, how are you going to get out of this?"
And what end plan?
Like, what do you well? We just want to. We're gonna play till they drag us off the stage because it's terrible. And he's like, "Seriously, I just want to retire by the time I'm 35." And I'm like, "Okay,
like, bummer. All right, good for you, bud.
We just like to play music. And
you're putting a cap on your career.
Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
No.
But on the other hand, there are some bands that should have pulled the plug a bit earlier.
It's true.
Yeah, but I sympathize with that because there's nothing I like better than getting up on stage and playing. And then again, it's not fun if you suck and you know you suck and you're like, oh man, I just blew it. That's
some
not
people
fun.
Don't know they suck.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So I understand why you just
that's why
keep
that's
doing
why
it.
We have to make sure that we surround ourselves with people that are going to be honest with us.
Yeah.
And so when it's not cute anymore, and we're terrible, someone's going to be like, okay, maybe it's time you find something else to do. You know.
But you won't be able to do that yourself. Aren't you yourself? Probably
not. Yeah. I don't know. I like being on stage too much. There's something about, I mean, I'll feel it again today. There's something about being on stage in front of an audience that you can't really get anywhere else, you know? And for
it's
like
good
that
stuff.
For that fleeting moment, you are literally, you are you at your best self, and you are surrounded by all of these people that are just like you, and you just don't have that anywhere else in life. So it's going to be very difficult to say to myself, okay, maybe I should retire. That's just not.
Well, you've been doing this for your whole life, basically.
True.
Yeah.
So if you weren't to do music, what would you do?
Oh, I have no
Where
idea.
Where would you fit in?
I've literally been in this band since I was 13. So I've been in this band longer than I haven't been in this band in my life, and I have no idea. I would probably have to hit something, you know.
I'd be doing something.
Like, honestly, I like get some.
Duck.
Ah, yeah, I don't know.
No,
I'd be in jail probably.
I'd be doing something in music. I don't know what. I didn't think I'd ever really be a musician, but I knew I was going to work in music, and I was just lucky to meet Lizzie. She had the same ideas I had, and here we are.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and basically, you're in the band, but you're not in the family. So, yeah. So how do you cope with?
Don't forget it.
How do you cope with the family stuff? Because I guess that could be some jitter.
There's nothing like the. There's not that.
Lizzie's
sort of
looking
feeling.
Really hard at you now. Like,
no, but
don't
really,
say
there's
something.
There's nothing really. I don't know. We're just a band. There's not so much a sibling like.
Yeah, like RJ and I are really cool, you know, with each other. But at the same time, like we've all known each other since we were teenagers, so it's been like over 15 years. But add in with that, it's over 15 years of you living 2 feet from each other, you know, on whatever monstrosity you're touring with, or it's a plane or a bus or whatever. So the fact that we haven't killed each other yet, I think, is a good testament. I think we're practically all family now. Even our crew, and some of our crew have been with us for like, what, 10 years, 8 years? And so I think it starts to just kind of bleed through, like we know how to have little spats and not throw the whole thing away. You know, it's like it's like a family. You know how to fight, but you're not ever going to not be a family. No. You know, so yeah.
Is that basically a bigger achievement than winning a Grammy, that you basically kept the band together for
so
long?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Grammy thing is fleeting. That can come or go. But the fact that we haven't killed each other yet is pretty is pretty awesome. Because we tour with bands that we get made fun of sometimes, because we'll tour with bands that just have like the business relationship. They don't speak unless they're on stage. And it's really sad, but that's what they do. And I remember one tour, one of the other bands was like, oh, so Lizzie, what are you going to do on your day off? I'm like, well, I think the guys and I are going to go bowling or go to a movie or something. And they're like, wait, together? Yes. Like, yeah, we still like each other. That's weird. You know, it is weird. Not many bands have that. So I think that
it'd be a bummer for it would a business be a bummer. Relationship.
Yeah. We still laugh to the point of tears every day.
Running through the history of the band, it seems like there's a certain schedule of doing things. 3 years between albums, mm-hmm. since 2009. Constant. Are you like a control freak? Do you have to have this like control over things that you know when things going to happen?
I don't know. I think it's just been a weird coincidence that that's been the schedule of releases.
I think so too. We haven't really planned on it that way, but I will say that maybe subconsciously we get into a routine because, you know, we'll be out on tour for a long time and then we'll be writing while we're on tour. And so eventually we're like, you know what, it's time to get these songs down. And just because it's been so constant over the years, it probably has inadvertently become that. But we didn't plan on it being that way, yeah. So there's no voodoo. we just like to, we always ask, okay, what's next? Mm. What's the next exciting thing that we can do? So
I remember last time we talked about the periods in between recordings. You had to do these reanimate stuff, cover EPs. Is there another one coming, or is the next thing we're here for you?
I don't know.
Maybe. We've been talking about whether or not we want to do that, or whether we just want to go into the studio and record new music. So. Mm. Yeah, it could go either way. We could do both too.
Yeah,
but it's a matter of getting off tour to do that. So.
And you don't.
Which we don't. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, you need a week or two when you get off tour to kind of recombobulate yourself and re-enter into civilian life, and then that's usually when we go out on the next tour. As soon as we get re-entered. So yeah, we just need some time after one of these tours.
Basically, this whole year it's been like 4 weeks out on average, maybe five. And then we have like 9 days at home, and then we go back out for another 4 weeks or 5 weeks, and then like 8 days at home, you know. And so so the road is home and home is vacation. Yeah. That's what we do. So yeah.
So basically a lot of bands says, well, we're not able to write while on the road because we have to go a safe place to do the music, to get in the zone. I guess you have to ride on the road.
Yeah, well, and it's actually, to me, it's fun. Like when I'm home, I will adjust and I will draft and redraft, and I will take everything that I've been writing on the road and organize it and put it down. But on the road, I'll crudely record songs, and even in their entirety, just like either into my phone or whatever. Just like last night, we were at the bar, and I'm like, ooh, I had this idea, and I literally like it just it was just with my voice because I didn't have anything, but I was like writing the riff with my mouth and then singing the melody over top of it just in my phone. Everyone's in the bars looking at me like I'm crazy. But that's what happens, and that's how you make those things come to life. And I think it's because the road is so normal, and that is home, that it's become much easier to write on the road. So yeah.
Are you actually able to do nothing?
No, it's tough. I don't know about you, but like I have to force myself to do nothing when we go home. Like, so I actually put it in the schedule. I'm like, okay, these 2 days I'm going to do nothing but watch TV or eat a whole pizza to myself, that kind of thing. But I think that it's hard for me to turn it off. So it's hard for me to not accomplish something during the day when this is your life every day. You know, it's hard to turn that off.
Yeah, we get back and I have like 2 days. I get a lot of stuff done right away because I'm all like, yeah, let's go, motivated. And then like it's like crash and burn. It's like, all right, like realize I was sitting on the couch for the last 2 hours staring at my phone. So I'm like, that's nice.
About two Good. Years ago, we all got our own houses, right? So now it's like house project when you go home. It's like, okay, let's get new curtains. Yeah, let's go. That's
Ooh,
the mission
curtains,
for the
Ooh.
Yeah. So
normal life.
Yeah.
We just got the timeout signal. So Lizzie and Joe, thanks for your time and have a good show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it, man.
Seriously.
A pretty safe bet you'll never see me again, yeah.
Var det nummeret Do Not Disturb fra Hailstorms seneste album Vicious, og dermed afslutning på første afsnit af My Rock's Copenhagen Reloaded-serie, hvor du i næste uge igen kan høre meget mere fra de bands, der spillede på årets festival. Mit navn er Emil Schelte. Tak fordi du lyttede med.
My Rock. My Rock. Podcast.